world has changed in the last few months. For some of us, we're getting used to a new normal. But for others, it's brought about a blast from the past, reverting to the old ways. No one is this truer for than Remy Allen. 10 years after she left the club, the midfielder returned to Leicester City this summer, the club with which she came through as a youngster and began her foray into senior women's football with. Much has changed since then though. Leicester are now a full-time professional outfit, having been acquired by King Power, and joined forces with the men's team under the same banner for the first time. We spoke to Remy on the Women's Football Diary just before the current FA Women's Championship season got underway. We chat about what it meant to rejoin Leicester, how it felt to leave Reading and not being able to say a proper goodbye, and also the difficulties she faced during the uncertainty of lockdown.
Hello and welcome, Sports Spiel listeners, to the latest episode in our brand new women's football series. And on this episode, we welcome back a firm podcast favourite in Remy Allen for her third appearance on the show, the first time an athlete has appeared or more than twice on Sports Spiel, so congratulations. It has been a while, Remy, but thank you for joining us once again.
No worries, thanks for having me.
As everyone is well aware, a lot has happened in the world since we last spoke to Remy back in the summer of 2019. And over the course of this episode, we'll try our best to cover most of that. But actually, I want to start by looking forward, as it's just a few days as we record this programme until women's football is set to return for the first time in 6 months. It'll also be the first time Remy will pull on a Leicester City shirt since 2010, having rejoined the club over the summer. So first of all, how are you feeling about actually being able to go out there and play a competitive game of football once again?
I'm excited, obviously, as I think every player will be right now. It seems a lifetime ago since we were in season playing football, and obviously due to the lockdown and whatnot, the whole training by yourself scenario, which happened for over 4 months, was really, really difficult at times. So to get back, and you know, we've had a nice pre-season and we've been able to play games. Actually, it's been a shorter pre-season, which I think every player will love. But no, it's really exciting and I can't wait to get out and get going.
What has been the biggest change over pre-season, or have there been any changes in terms of the way that you can train and interact with each other? Or is it because things have started to go back more to normal in society, has it actually been sort of a relatively normal training process?
I think at the start it was a little bit strange because obviously when we went in, I think every club was in the same boat in terms of you had to do the social distance training, and that meant you was in very small groups and obviously you had to social distance within that. So it was very limited in terms of like certain drills that you could do. So for me going in at Leicester, it was really strange actually because we was a relative new group, but we actually didn't meet each other properly until like the second or third week of pre-season because of the stipulations with COVID and whatnot. So the first few weeks were a little bit strange, but then in a way it was kind of nice because you was in your small groups, you kind of got to know people a little bit more than you probably would if you was in the whole team environment. And then after that sort of that part where that was cleared and everything was good and we could get back to normal, it has relatively been quite normal. Obviously it's strange, you know, getting the test in and the temperature checks in the morning, and you know, you go to games and obviously there's no fans and just the whole procedure on a game day, different changing rooms and whatnot. But in terms of actually being able to play football, that went back to normal relatively quick.
What was that first session like for you, actually being able to train with a few other people and not just having to train by yourself, and actually going back into a club and feeling that sort of atmosphere and everything again? How did that feel after a few months of not being able to do it?
I think it would have felt strange regardless, obviously because of having so long out, but actually going into a new club, a new environment, completely new people. If I'm being honest, I was a little bit anxious going in because you just kind of don't know what to expect. And then you throw COVID in, it was just all a little bit surreal. But I mean, it was a brutal day, actually, because we had testing. So it wasn't actually the nicest day I've ever had. But once you're in and you start speaking to the girls and the staff, you do kind of just go back to normal as such. You kind of forget, you know, what's sort of happened over the last how many months. But in terms of the whole situation, I think for me, it was a little bit a little bit strange, just obviously because everything was so new.
It's also the first time in 10 years that you had trained with Leicester, having left the club in 2010. What was it like going back, and how much different is the place now and is the club now compared to a few years ago when you last played for them?
Yeah, I guess that probably is the strangest thing about it, actually. I associate Leicester with me as a kid growing up, and then obviously my first senior sort of team and whatnot. So it's very close to my heart. Obviously, coming back in, they're in a completely different scenario now. We're obviously full-time, we're professional. You know, it has been a transition and it's still taking time. Obviously, we are due to move into what was the men's training ground. But obviously, the COVID delayed all of that. So we're kind of, it's actually quite surreal, actually. We're training at the minute in a place where I used to play when I was a junior. So it's mad to sort of go, literally feel like I've gone full circle. But it's really exciting. And I think I look back to where Leicester was, you know, when I was there 10 plus years ago to where they are now. It's like night and day. So there's been so many improvements. And that's credit to the people at the club. We've just pushed it and pushed it. So yeah, it's a really exciting project to be a part of.
And what were the major draws for you? What made you want to go back to Leicester, where it all started?
I think, again, it was kind of like the long-term plan of the club was really, really exciting. And I think it was refreshing to sort of have honesty in terms of they're not trying to run before they can walk. They know there's a process and there's a build-up to get there. And it's a very logical step, which they very much took me a part of. And I enjoyed hearing, I think, the ambition. Obviously, they want to be a WSL One club. And it was something, you know, I've always been at a WSL One club. So I'm so used to that. So obviously, dropping the league was, in my head, you know, I had battles with it at times, to be honest with you. But I firmly believed in their process and what they want to do. And obviously, the recruitment, you know, we've brought in good players. We've brought in experienced players and we've brought in exciting players. So overall, it was kind of the overall package. And to be honest with you, in terms of where I'm at with my career, like I said, I've been in the WSL from day dot. And being brutally honest, I kind of needed a new challenge because ultimately for me, I've always played in a club that wasn't in the top three, but wasn't really ever going to get relegated. I think it's really difficult being in that middle pack because, you know, you work and work and work and then you get to a point where probably you're not really playing for anything other than obviously trying to finish as high as you can, but there's no trophy, there's no real outcome at the end of it. So I guess I was sort of craving something different and something new. And then to be able to sort of come back to my hometown club where everything started for me, was like, it was strange, but it was like it all felt like it fell into place at the right time.
And you've got two of your fellow former Reading teammates in Sophie Howard and Millie Farrow joining you as well. How nice will it be to continue to be able to play with those familiar faces as well as a whole host of new and exciting faces?
Yeah, that's great. I think at any club, you kind of crave a little bit of comfort at times. And obviously coming into Leicester was so new, albeit I knew the staff. I didn't necessarily know any of the players, the original players that we had, should I say. So knowing that Mills and Sophie coming in with me was a really nice sort of calming sort of a thing for me to know. And, you know, it's been actually really nice because we're there and we can support each other. And every now and again we check in, but we've been quite, I suppose, open to meeting the new girls and getting to know everyone. And actually the team's come along in such a short space of time in terms of togetherness and whatnot. We're in a really good place, but it's definitely really nice to have a little bit of comfort with them girls there.
And you and Millie Farrow did quite an entertaining video with Reading earlier on in lockdown. Can we expect to see more of those coming over the next few weeks and months?
Knowing Mills, I can definitely say yes.
So with Leicester, it's such a positive story that this is a WSL championship club who have become fully professional, and it's taking the women's game to that next level in that sort of the second tier teams are becoming that bit more professional. And it's a good news story after such a difficult summer for women's sports, and there's been a lot of negativity. But do you perhaps think that actually more could have been made of this story? Because it felt like in the media it was slightly underplayed. I found a couple of sort of short news stories on it on Sky and BBC, but actually for the women's game, this is a massive thing. And do you just think that maybe it should have been talked a bit more about because it is so positive after such a difficult time?
I suppose yes and no with that. I think, you know, there's so much that has to be done behind the scenes for something like this to come out. So the club had to be completely and utterly ready for the sort of the world of women's football to hear the news and whatnot. So I guess that's took a lot of time with in terms of the men and the women transitioning together. So I think probably by the time it was ready to come out, everyone almost knew, as daft as that sound. If he was in the women's game, he'd heard rumours and blah, blah. So it was kind of a really bad kept secret in a way. I think if it could have come out, you know, a few months beforehand, I think, yeah, it definitely could have been made into a bigger spectacle than it was. But then at the same time, from my perspective, I got to a point where I was kind of like, sometimes you don't want that big, massive story about you because then the eyes are all on you. And yes, where it's great for women's football in terms of where we're at and where I'm at, we want to get promoted. So I'm happy to go under the radar and do our job and, you know, silently try and get to where we need to go. But I do totally understand in terms of the, you know, positivity around the women's game and whatnot. It is a massive thing and it's an exciting thing. I just think potentially the timing could have been better, but I know there was a lot that had to be done behind the scenes to get it to come out when it did, if that makes sense.
This is the Women's Football Diary by Sportspiel. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audioboom, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As it sort of alluded to, it's been a tough time for women's sport, women's football over the last few months. There's been a lot of talk about perceptions and everything on social media, but do you actually think that the best thing that could happen now is just for the league to restart and for us to just be able to see you guys playing again, and that we'll sort of quite quickly forget the negativity that maybe has unfortunately surrounded women's football through no fault of its own, and actually we can just appreciate you guys for what you're doing best because you're back playing essentially?
I mean, I'd like to think so. I like to think this every year when we go into football, regardless of COVID. But obviously, people are always going to have their opinions, and sometimes it's not nice. The one thing I do hope is, you know, there's been a lot of sport that hasn't happened over the past 5-6 months. So we're now progressively getting, you know, sport and football back on the screen. So I would hope that people would just want to enjoy the fact that they get the opportunity now again to watch it. And also for us, you know, it's our livelihood. So we're buzzing to be back out there and whatnot. Unfortunately, we live in a society where it's not always going to be positive. It's, you know, you do get some really tough sort of comments or press about it. And it's a good job we're thick skinned at times, to be honest with you. But I do really hope that, you know, after such adversity and such difficult times in 2020, that this could just be something that's a little bit of a positive and just people can enjoy it more than anything.
Social media has been a strange place to be over the last few months, and what has been really good to see actually is when negative things have been said and things like that, that not just players have been fighting back, but a lot of supporters have been fighting back for women's sport and women's football. I'm thinking the I Am Enough hashtag that's trending in terms of the rugby union at the moment, and going back to I think sort of was April, May, when there were a lot of negative comments coming in about the WSL, and there was a lot more positivity coming out. Is that something that you think is maybe changing, and that yes, the negative comments are still there, but actually there are more people now in support of you, and that's a growing perception that people are accepting women's football and are really championing you guys?
I definitely think it's improving. You know, I still think it's really difficult that we have to sit here and have this conversation, because I think it's so, you can guarantee if there's one post about women's football, whether it's to do with a sign-in or something about a club, you can guarantee you're going to click on it and there's going to be negative comments underneath. And that's a disappointing thing for me, that we're still in that place. However, to see people respond, and, you know, it's not to create arguments or to create negativity. It's just to say, like, if you haven't got anything nice to say, then just don't say anything at all. It's as simple as that. So it does kind of feel nice, to be honest with you, that we're not just fighting battles ourselves. Now sort of more players, more fans, you know, more media people are getting involved to try and sort of help that. You know, I even had one the other day with my signing. I did an interview for Leicester, and some of the comments underneath them were disgusting. I contacted our media guy, and he was apologetic, and he was straight away, you know, we'll sort this out. We'll make sure that, you know, we have a strict policy with all this stuff. So yes, it's still hard and it's still disappointing, but there's definitely more protection and more improvement coming. Still needs to be more, in my opinion, but it is really nice from the, you know, especially the fans' perspective, that they support you now as well. It's really appreciated.
And what do you make of major outlets such as Sky and BBC saying that they're going to take more time to look at the comments and to monitor them and delete them? Do you think that's a positive step forward? It's not necessarily one they should be taking, but the fact that they are saying that they're going to do it, do you think that's something that it is a positive thing at all?
Yeah, completely. Like we've said, you know, it shouldn't need to be there, should it? But at the end of the day, if, for example, if something's put out on BBC Sports, it's worldwide. And if you're the individual that, yes, BBC Sport have, you know, done a media piece on or whatnot, like, it's really difficult to hear some of the things that get said about you. And I know many, many players have had to go through this, and it shouldn't be something that then can ultimately affect people's mental health and affect the way they feel about themselves or the game, when actually all that's coming out is, you know, there's a transfer, or we've signed a new contract, or whatever it may be. So it starts as a positive, and then it can end up in a really bad place for that individual. So I definitely think it's major that the top sort of broadcasters and whatnot are trying to help with that scenario, because I do think that players need protection. So that's great to see.
Is that something that you as players, whether it comes through the PFA, whether that comes through clubs or other means, is that something that you sort of get taught about and warned about and sort of you get strategies given to you to put into place? Because a lot of younger players are coming in and they will have been growing up on social media, but they will now have these comments being made about them. Is that something, a provision that's given to footballers, or is that something that you've just sort of got to learn from people a bit more experienced, or from just trial and error almost?
To be honest with you, it's a difficult question, because obviously I can't vouch for every club, and I'm sure there are policies in certain clubs that, you know, help and support everyone, but even more so with the youngsters. Like you said, it hasn't been something that I've ever had, but then again, I'm a lot older, so there wasn't so much social media back in the day. But I definitely think there should be something in place now, because of the way the game's going and everything's driven by social media. And let's be honest, as players, a lot of players want the perks of social media, which is great, but then there's also some real downsides. So I do feel there needs to be a lot more education moving forward. And like I said, it could be happening in certain clubs, but I don't think over the whole of the sort of the leagues, it's probably there yet. And I think that will be vital moving forward, like I said, just to help prevent, you know, things can spiral from just one comment into a real mental health issue for someone, for example. So I think that'll be something moving forward that definitely people need to look at to help support players and especially youngsters.
And if you don't mind me asking, is there anything particularly that you do if you see a comment on, like, a negative comment, or is it more of a case of you actually just try not to look at it? And just ignore anything that potentially you could see something that's not particularly nice or fair about you?
If I'm being brutally honest, I would love to say that I choose to not read them and ignore them. And it doesn't happen often to me, because I'm not often in the limelight, which is great for me. But I'll be honest, I do read them when it's come out. I find it difficult to not, because I kind of want to know what's being said about me, and whether that's a wrong or right thing to do, it's probably the wrong thing to do. My process, and I wouldn't say, again, it's the best process, but my process is I probably read, I then come home, I vent about it, I get my frustration out, you know, I get a little bit of anger out, or if it makes me upset, it doesn't often lead me to getting too upset, but it does bother you. So I guess I have to come home and vent about it and get it off my chest. And then as soon as I've done that, I'm pretty good at then moving on from it. But I think that comes with experience as well. And I'm not saying I deal with it in the best way anyway, but I think with youngsters, I struggle to see how then a lot of them can then let that go, especially if then it starts to eat away at them and stuff. So I have a process of dealing with it, which is different to probably some people. And I've been fortunate enough that so far, touch wood, it hasn't really affected me too much. But I would hate to see anyone have to go through that just purely because someone's sat behind a keyboard and decided to say something nasty.
It's not always negative comments, though. There are quite often a lot of nice comments put out there as well. And especially when the announcement was made back in June that you were leaving Reading, there were a lot of lovely comments said about you and your time at the club. I guess sort of how did you feel when you had to sort of tell the world that your time at the club had come to an end?
A little bit sad, to be honest with you. I just think, 4 or 5 years I think I was at the club, and obviously you move your life to the club where you're at and you give everything, and I had some really amazing times. I had some really difficult times there. So it was kind of one of them things. I knew for a while that I wasn't gonna renew my contract, but then it comes to when you actually have to say it and put it out to people. I actually felt a little bit sad on the day. It was a little bit strange to sort of say goodbye, because obviously being there for so long, you make some really good friends. You also, the fans are amazing, and that you have some supporters that follow you throughout. I did a lot of coaching there as well. So a lot of the fans and the kids and stuff I coached. So it was a little bit bittersweet to say goodbye, but it was always the right thing for me to do, where I was at as a footballer and as a person. But yeah, it was a little bit difficult actually to say goodbye.
Did it make it that bit more difficult as well that you didn't really have a chance to say a proper goodbye on the pitch because of the whole coronavirus situation?
Yeah, I mean, that scenario is mad when I think about it, because actually my last game for Reading, believe it or not, was Reading versus Leicester when they knocked us out the FA Cup. So that was also really surreal that happened to be my last game. And of course, I would have wanted to finish the season and, give my all for the rest of the season and said goodbye to the fans and, played with the players one last time, all that stuff. Obviously, in the grand scheme of things, you have to look at the bigger picture, and what was going on in the world is far more important. I would have loved to have done it in a different way, but ultimately it's the way it had to be done. And it was still nice to see all the lovely comments that I got. And obviously I wish Reading all the best for the future as well.
You're listening to the Women's Football Diary. Join the conversation on social media using hashtag Women's Football Diary.
Speaking of sort of lockdown and coronavirus, how were those early few weeks for you? Because it was an uncertain time for everyone, but I guess for you as a professional athlete, there was even more uncertainty just surrounding everything, really, like whether you were going to be able to get out and train, how that training was going to look, sort of the future of clubs and women's football and all that sort of thing. So how did you find those opening sort of couple of months of lockdown and the whole coronavirus situation?
To be honest, at the start, I found it really, really difficult, just purely because of the unknown with the virus, which I know everyone deals with things differently, but it really worried me. And then obviously the unknown of what was going on with our season. And obviously as a footballer and as an athlete, you have a responsibility to stay in shape and be ready. And we were being told there was a potential that we were coming back and we were playing pretty quickly. So obviously then you're having to go out and train by yourself, and ultimately you're doing a lot of running because that's basically all that you can do by yourself a lot of the time. So it was really, really difficult just not knowing what was going to happen. But then also after a fair few weeks leading into a couple of months, the ability to get up and keep going out by yourself and keep training and doing your double sessions, I got to a point where motivation was difficult, because you was at a point where I was thinking, well, clearly the season can't be happening. But then in the same breath, you were so anxious in case it did happen and you weren't ready. So you had to stay on top of things. So yeah, as time went on, I guess the training alone stuff I found really difficult. But I think as an athlete, you're so used to sort of having to just get through things and just train. You kind of get almost on autopilot in the end, and you just get through it. I wouldn't say I enjoyed it. And by the back end of it, I was just like willing to come back to football and just be able to kick a ball and do something different other than running up and down a pitch. But yeah, it was just something that you get through. And like I said, in the grand scheme of things, there was a lot of people going through a lot worse. So, you know, we were privileged to still be able to go and do what we needed to do and get paid as well. So we couldn't complain in that sense.
We spoke very briefly at the sort of the beginning process of lockdown, and I seem to remember you saying that actually being able to get out there and train with a ball and some cones was quite difficult for you. How was that actually trying to keep your skills sharp, and you know, were there restrictions, because you know we were only allowed to go out and do one bit of exercise, and people were being sort of clamped down on quite quickly. Did you find that as well, that it was actually quite difficult to just get out there and get into some space and just kick a ball about by yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I had a few issues with pitches and whatnot and trying to train. And obviously, the guidelines kept changing, which I think made it a little bit unclear at times and a little bit difficult. But then there was a point where you could obviously train with, you could exercise with anyone within your household. And I obviously live with two of the girls that I played with. So we went out to do some training, and quite a few times we literally got kicked off where we was at, because we had the discussion with a policeman actually, and we were obviously trying to explain that we're professional footballers, we live in the same house, we literally had a few balls and some cones out, and he said it looked like a PT session, and that wasn't allowed, you have to stick to cardio, which was really interesting because obviously was never said at any point. So yeah, there was many issues quite early on, and I think we got to a point where, because we were so unsure about what on earth it was we was allowed to do, we kind of just went, okay, we'll just do our own sessions, so we just go out by ourselves. Obviously when you're by yourself, it's very hard to kick balls around because ultimately you have to fetch every ball that you kick. So that side of things was difficult. So sharpness and sort of touches on the ball, you naturally lost. Obviously the running side of things you can maintain. So that took a while coming back into the season to get back. So yeah, they were frustrating times.
We've seen a lot on social media of people across different sports coming up with really innovative and different ways of being able to keep themselves training at home, in the gardens, in the household. Did you have anything like that you just sort of thought up and was a bit different that you were able to do training at home, or were you just sort of trying to stick to the basics and getting out there as much as possible?
I'm not going to lie, I'm not the most creative of people. So a lot of what I could do, I stole off social media at times. I was fortunate that two of the girls I live with used their initiative a lot and sort of created little, like when we had to do like gym sessions and whatnot, so weights and whatnot, we wouldn't have weights at times. So, you know, we were using like the detergent and sort of softener and stuff, and packing it in backpacks and using that as, you know, to squat with or whatever the scenario was. A lot of it didn't come from me, I'm not going to lie. So yeah, in terms of like the gym stuff, we had to be quite sort of makeshift with what we had. But when it came to obviously just your fitness side of things, I could still go out and run, so I was doing that stuff. So yeah.
You spoke there about how you previously about how you found motivation quite difficult as well to keep going. How did you, I guess, yeah, keep pushing yourself through that, and were there any sort of strategies or any things that you were thinking about and putting in place to just keep you getting out there and keeping you going, just to keep pushing through?
To be honest with you, it was kind of like I ultimately just used a fear of not being ready when the time came. So every time I felt like, oh, I don't want to get out there, I don't want to do this session, it's going to be horrible, I'd think to myself, well, do you know what, if I don't do it and we return back in a week or 2 weeks' time, I'm going to be so far off, first of all, the players in my team. And then second of all, when we've got to play, how far off am I going to be them players? And I kind of had to use that always as the sort of drive to keep me going, because there were times I didn't want to go out and I didn't want to just get on the line and run. And, it, you know, you looked at the session on the paper and you thought, oh, this is going to be horrific. But at the same time, I was just always like, well, if I do it, I'm one step closer to being ready and sharp for when I need to be. And if I don't do it, I'm ultimately going to let myself down. And then actually I let the team down as well. So I guess that was my sort of drive to keep me going. Albeit at times it was difficult, even with that in mind, but I never missed sessions and I always did them. So, and obviously now I'm so glad that I did.
What about, were there any, I know we've spoken about a lot about mental health and mental well-being on previous shows. Were there any other sort of mental challenges that you came across being in lockdown? So I know for me, the thought of actually sort of being stuck inside was quite, was provoking quite a lot of anxiety sort of early on, and it was just finding, you know, ways of dealing that and getting through that. Did you find sort of similar things as well? And if so, how did you get through those?
I think at the very start, I had a lot of fear and anxiety towards the actual virus, because it's obviously thrown in your face, and rightly so, through social media, on the news, because it's such a big thing. I laugh now, but I was, feel like I was probably being a little bit dramatic at the time, but I kind of feared that I was always going to have it. Any time I had a sniffle or a cold or anything, I panicked, especially really early on. I was fortunate that obviously I live with two of the girls, Jade and Joe, and they know me inside out. So they're very good at sort of calming me down and making me see things with a bit more rationale. So I guess I kind of started to get over that fear. And then obviously when we're in a little bit of lockdown, and then all of a sudden we was in proper, well, a proper lockdown to what we've ever known it as. And then the same thing as you, really, the panic of what on earth am I going to do? I'm locked in my house. Like it bred a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear, just because it was so unknown and you've never been in that scenario. And for me, if I'm having a bad day mentally, like sometimes just, you know, going for a walk or going to sit and have a coffee somewhere, like I can calm myself. Whereas M scenarios, it was quite difficult to do. I was actually fortunate that Jade, who I live with, is pretty like good with this sort of stuff. Like I've always said she'd be perfect to go in the army or anything like that because of how she deals with things. And she actually had, for a while, we had a bit of a schedule. So it was like, we get up at this time, we do this, we do that. And we had it literally all the way till the evening. And it didn't last too long, I have to admit. But for the first how many days or weeks, we sort of tried to use it as a guide. And I think that really helped me, because as a footballer, you're used to so much structure. You're told when your breakfast is, when your training is, when you're in the gym, you know, when you're in analysis, like it's all, you're literally told where to go all the time. So I think I'm so used to that. If I'd have sort of just gone, well, I've got nothing to do all day, I've got no structure, it would have made me really struggle. So I guess I've got Jade to thank for the sort of the list we had each day of things to do. So I guess that helped me a lot.
Was a lot of that stuff, was it football related, or were there other things as well, just doing things as a house, quizzes and things like that? Or was it largely the schedule was based around football?
Oh, no, this was everything in life. Like this was detailed, like this is wake up, this is breakfast, this is, you know, reading time, this is like, I don't know, game time, whatever it was, like skilled, like just all sorts. I think she tried to manage the whole, yes, we're footballers, but also now we're stuck in a house with each other 24/7 and we have to have some fun and try and, you know, be a little bit creative. So yeah, it was a very broad sort of list, which was great.
And as restrictions have eased and life has started to get back to a bit more of normality, what have been the things that you've maybe learned that you appreciate that you now can do that you weren't able to do that you think, I took that for granted before and I'm really enjoying just being able to do this simple thing again? Is there anything in particular that stands out?
I think I kind of realised that I can be by myself without doing anything a lot more comfortably, if that makes sense. Because I think beforehand, if I'd have sat in the house, I'd have drove myself insane. Even just for a few hours, I'm like, you know, I've got to do something. I can't sit here. Like, And I used to really struggle with that, especially on off days. I think obviously with COVID and having to be in the house a lot and sort of, you know, when you live with people, you try and give each other your own space as well. I sort of realised that actually I can be by myself and I can be a lot more comfortable being by myself now than I ever thought I could be. So I guess that was a good valuable lesson. And just the simplicity of life as well. Like, you know, I absolutely loved in lockdown because the weather was nice a lot of the time, getting out and walking. And I did a little tiny bit of it before that, but like actually proper getting out and walking and going to, you know, we were fortunate, we were in a beautiful place and there was a lovely river. I used to walk along it pretty much. If I wasn't training, I'd use that as my time to get out and do that. And, you know, that costs nothing. That's, you don't have to have other people with you. Like, it's very simple, but it was actually a really calming thing for me. It was something that I've definitely taken from lockdown that I'll continue to do in the future.
Is there anything that you really, really missed about football as well? Is there any like one thing that stands out, even if it's just, you know, the actually just being able to play the game or the camaraderie? Is there anything that even when you sort of went back to training that you realised, I didn't think I'd missed this, but wow, I've missed this?
I think when you obviously, you're with your teammates more than you are with most of your family a lot of the time, because you're there every single day with them. And when you're in it for so long, it can kind of become, you know, tedious, or it can kind of be a bit like, I just want some space. Like, I can't wait for a few days off, like away from everyone. And that's with the greatest of respect. That's not even in a negative way. I think it's just a natural thing. But obviously, when you are away for that amount of time, and obviously it was quite a severe amount of time, but I think getting back, it was just the daft things of like football banter, just like silly things, just being in and around each other and, you know, having a bit of a laugh with each other. Even just daft things like, you know, you're walking around on the pitch and people are trying to just meg you to wind you up. Like daft things that just provoke a bit of laughter and a bit of togetherness and whatnot. I think you're so busy to want to break from that. And I get it, because it's intense when you're there. But actually, I did really miss it when I didn't have it as well. And I think maybe for being a professional footballer for so long now, you're just so used to it every single day. So it's quite extreme when you don't have it. So it's been nice to get back to that. And obviously now I've got a new bunch of girls and they're quite young, a lot of them, and they've got all new tricks and all new, you know, lingo and stuff. So I'm trying to learn all that stuff right now as well.
I was going to say, is there anyone in your short time at the club that you've sort of learned provides quite a lot of the banter at Leicester?
I can honestly say, right, I don't think I've ever been in a group where we've got so many of them. Like, everywhere I look, it's like you've got to have eyes in the back of your head, because we've got some, you know, we've got some big jokers, some big comedians and whatnot in our team. So I'm literally having to be very, very aware of everyone around me at the minute, which is fun and it's exciting. And I guess I'm just kind of the older head that sort of mellows everyone out a little bit.
And this Leicester team, they finished sixth in the Championship last year, so mid-table, a pretty decent season. They've brought in several new signings and the club is a real mixture of real experience and real exciting talent, and nearly all of it homegrown as well. How excited should we be as fans, you know, to see the progress of this club over not just this season, but the upcoming sort of 4 or 5 seasons maybe? You know, how far do you think that potentially this group could go in the next few years?
I do think it's really exciting. One thing that I think with the club is that it will take time. I don't think it's just, you know, click your fingers and you're there sort of thing, because there's a lot about the club that's having to improve and transition and change. And obviously when you bring such a new group together, that also takes time. We've had a great pre-season in terms of results and, you know, how we've played and whatnot, but to sustain that over 20 plus games is difficult. But I'm really excited, and I do genuinely think the club can, you know, become an established WSL one side. I do. Again, I think it will take time. But in terms of sort of the homegrown players and the young players that we've got, they're raw, but they're so exciting. And from what I've seen so far, I'm just like, yeah, this could build into something nice. it needs a little bit more, and it needs a bit more time. And I think a little bit more experiences, obviously, as the seasons go on, because ultimately, if and when we're a WSL side, you will need experience. You can't buy that at the end of the day. But I think the blend is really nice at the minute. I'm really excited.
And I guess, as we mentioned right at the start, at the time of recording, it's just a few days until your first game, and it'll be the first game in 6 months, pretty much. How do you think you're going to feel when you're sort of in the changing room, in the tunnel, walking out onto the pitch for the first time? What do you think you'll be nervous, or do you just think you'll be relieved and glad that you can get back to doing what you love most?
I reckon it'll be a mixture of nerves and excitement, to be honest with you, because ultimately I get nervous before every game, no matter who I'm playing for. But to step out, and obviously it's a shame that, you know, family and friends can't be there in such a big moment, but even to step out wearing the shirt again in a competitive fixture is just amazing to think about. And, you know, I have the moments in pre-season. I put the kit on and I walk out and I'm like, I can't believe I'm actually back at my home, basically. So I think it'll be a really nice moment for me. It will be if we win the game, obviously. If not, I'll probably not want to think about it ever again. But no, I'm really excited about it. And yeah, there'll be a few little nerves, of course, but always good nerves. So,
well, we certainly wish you the very best and Leicester for the entire season. Thank you so much again for joining us for another Sports Bill episode, Remy. And hopefully we get to speak to you again soon.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Once again, a huge thank you to Remy for joining us for a third time on Sportspiel, and we wish her and Leicester all the very best for the season. We'll be back with another episode of the Women's Football Diary next week, so make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out. You can also follow us using the handle at SportspielPod across social media. And please, if you want to, send us an email to sportspielpod@gmail.com.